Welcome back in everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fabulous show that's part of yet another great festival happening here in New York City. And we've got some great guests to talk to us about this show, one familiar and one new. Joining us once again, we have the playwright Doug DeVita. And new to the show, we have the actor playing the leading role of Charlie in the show, Kevin Ligon. They're here to talk to us about the show Goddess of the Hunt, which is part of the Fresh Fruit Festival. And the show is playing April 30th, May 3rd, and May 4th at 6:30 p.m. at the Wild Project. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting freshfruitfestival.com. We're so excited to be able to bring you some coverage on this wonderful festival. It's a great, great festival featuring works by LGBTQ artists and dealing with that subject. So why don't we go ahead and bring smarter people than me on to talk about not only the festival, but this great show. Doug, Kevin, welcome. Welcome back to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Hey.
Very excited to be talking about another show of yours, Doug, Goddess of the Hunt. This is so exciting. And to be covering the Fresh Fruit Festival. So, Doug, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about what the show Goddess of the Hunt is about?
It's, I'm trying to encapsulate it. It's a riff on the, you know, those romantic comedy thrillers from the early 60s, the very chic movies like Charade and Arabesque, and but updated to the modern age of social media. And it's sort of retelling of the Diana legend. So basically, Charlie is just lost his husband. He's befriended by Diana Blackwhite, an interior designer at Joe Allen. And they become instant BFFs. And this concerns Charlie's best friend since childhood, who is a Broadway actor, and Ed McGrath. And he is currently starring in a musical called Crazy for Abe, which is a Sondheim musical about Abe Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln. And basically Charlie gets hurled into this world of dysfunctional family relationships, dark secrets, information oversharing online, and he ain't prepared for it. That about sums it up, Kevin, would you say?
That sums it up better than I could have. It's also a lot of fun. That's the most important thing. When you said, what's the show about? I thought, yeah, it's fun.
It sounds it. I love this. So, Doug, what was the inspiration behind this play?
I observe things, and over the last, 20 years, I've been observing behavior in social media, online, and sometimes I'm just absolutely appalled by not just what people will post, but what people will talk about, and how it seems that like borders and filters have just completely dropped. And not just online, but like in person as well. I can't tell you how many dinners I've had in restaurants all over the friggin' world where people at the table next to me are talking about things I wouldn't even talk about in my bedroom with the doors closed. So it just sort of evolved into this particular piece. Plus, it's a love story about, you know, late middle age love, which nobody writes about. And I think really it's a big thing. So,
Kevin, how did you come upon this piece?
Well, fortunately, I happen to be friends with this lovely man, Doug DeVita. And he asked me to do it. That's how it happened to be. I mean, I've done earlier piece that Doug had worked on years ago and been a part of the development of that piece, which was really wonderful, called the Philly Trilogy. And so I was just really happy to do another one of Doug's plays. And we've done a few readings, I think. Mm-hmm. One on Zoom and one, I think, in your apartment. But it's been nice to see it grow. But it's always had this tone to it that's really, I find, kind of titillating and delightful and a little twisted. So it's fun.
A little twisted?
Well, I don't want to oversell it, Doug, but it's also for me, getting back to Doug saying it's late middle age love story, that applies to me. And I never get to play these kind of roles because I'm usually playing the character friend, the small character role, whatever. And it's nice to be the love interest, so to speak, in this piece, and a sort of new experience. Well, not really. I mean, a long time ago, I played that part, but a long time ago, it's been a while. So anyway, so it's very appealing to me to get to be a part of this.
So lovely. Now, at the time of this recording, we are literally 2 weeks away from the show opening at the festival. And I'm going to start with you, Kevin, and I want to know what's it been like developing the work.
Oh, well, it's been, for me right now, it's still a lot of learning the lines. It's been great. I mean, like I said, I did some readings, and you know, Doug and I've had conversations, and he'll rewrite things, send it back to me. And it's fun to see that progress happen, but that all happened before we started rehearsals. Well, I guess a little after, but really right now it's just the actors in the room kind of discovering each other and creating what the show's going to be. We're still in that process right now. So it's still pretty new, actually. 2 weeks from now, it's going to be a different thing than where we are now, which is exciting. That's one of the thrills of doing theater. Yeah.
And my friend Carol Monferdini, who has done several of these festival productions with me, has likened it to being shot out of a cannon.
Yeah. So you got to get your cannon fodder ready.
Yeah. But we have a terrific director. I'm very pleased. I think the cast is as well. I'll speak for them. Her name's Rosie Corr. She assisted Warren Carlyle on Harmony this past season on Broadway. And she was recommended to me by Harmony's producer, Ken Davenport. And I think she's terrific. I sat in the room on Thursday watching everyone work with her. And it was a masterclass in watching someone take control of the room and yet create a safe environment and be incredibly creative and inventive. And I just, what I saw was a cast that was responding and delivering really incredible work. So I'm stepping back from the rehearsals because they don't need a nervous playwright there, and just letting them all, you know, find and play and work. And then this coming Thursday, I'm going to rehearsal, but only because I'm going to be in Manhattan that day anyway. I trust everybody with this implicitly.
Amazing.
Yeah, Rosie's pretty great. She's pretty wonderful.
I love hearing that. That's so wonderful.
And she's like 12. I mean, she's really young.
She's a child director. No.
But she's brilliant. I mean, she's just incredible. And her energy level, I didn't have that energy when I was her age. It's just, it's marvelous. It's just absolutely marvelous.
It's something in the water, I guess, you know. Doug, with this show, with this fun and fabulous show, is there a message or a thought you hope that audiences take away from it?
Stay offline. No.
Be very wary of people you meet at Joe Allen late at night.
Yeah. Or online, or yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I'm going to let other people answer that when they see it. For me, I just want people to sit back, relax, go with it, and just enjoy the insanity of this script. It's really just, I want people to laugh. I want them to gasp a little. I want them to roll their eyes and think, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. And I want them to just enjoy themselves. I mean, I think we need to have fun. I think we're at a point now where we just need to lose ourselves in something that's insane, but funny, and walk out thinking, I was entertained by this.
Yeah, I think, hearkening back to what Doug said about the being inspired by the movies of like the 60s, like Charade and Arabesque, those movies. I mean, I don't know that anyone putting those movies together was thinking of any kind of message. I think they were thinking of really engaging and entertaining the audience and sort of taking you on a little bit of an adventure. And that, to me, this piece does.
I love that. That sounds like so much fun. Well, for my final question of this first half, I want to ask Kevin, you know, who do you hope have access to this piece?
My agents. No. Who do I hope to have access to this piece? I don't know. Anybody that wants to see it. I mean, anybody that I want to come see it. These are horrible answers. You know, it's funny. I hadn't really thought of the audience. I mean, I just assume it's going to be sort of an LGBTQ friendly audience, which is fun. And I think that that's sort of who we're directing it to, but I think we're directing it to anybody really, because it's sort of a generally entertaining piece. And I mean, I think people my age, which let's just say late middle age, would appreciate it because of the fact that it is sort of a throwback to an earlier form of entertainment in a way. So I hope people my age will come see it because I think they'll enjoy it. But I want all ages to come. Don't get me wrong.
Doug, how about you? Who are you hoping have access to the piece?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, I wrote it, obviously, for an LGBTQ audience. I mean, it's very specific in who it will appeal to. And I agree with Kevin. I mean, I think an older audience will appreciate it more. That's not to say a younger audience won't, but I think that unless you're really steeped in theater and movies, a younger audience might find it, I don't get it.
There are a couple of cultural references, pop cultural references that are wonderful that I think are sort of directed to that older demographic.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but a couple, you know.
You know, and it really does require, it requires an audience member to, I don't like to say this the way it's going to come out, but to kind of like just check your brains at the door and sit back and just embrace what this show is. So yeah. And of course, like Kevin said, you know, potential agents for me, potential producers for the next round with this show, the next level with this show, obviously that, you know, and of course it would be nice if we got a good review or two. That would help.
Yeah, I'd like to say, now that I've had a moment to think about this question, it is more important to me that it be people that will help this show move, because my friends and my, you know, loved ones hopefully can see it down the line somewhere. I mean, I'd love for them to come to this too, but I really am feeling that we're doing this so that it can be seen by people that might want to invest some money in it or do something with it and move it to the next stage. Cause I think there is a future for this show. And so that's what's really important, I think. I mean, not that that's necessarily the goal of the festival. I don't even know, but I do hope that those people come, like Doug said, that can help this show move forward. Because it has a broad audience that it could appeal to.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And of course, Doug, I mean, like I said, we have had you here several times, which is always our pleasure. You keep bringing great works to us. But Kevin, this is your first time with us. So I'm going to start with you and our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Wow. Well, I mean, I've done a lot of musicals. So I guess I'd have to say Sondheim, of course, is a great inspiration. And the directors of the past that inspired me as a child, like Jerome Robbins and Bob Fosse, people like that, Michael Bennett. But that just shows when I was growing up, those were the people that I really looked to. And honestly, just I was a big movie buff coming up, so I was very inspired by that and by films and film actors as well, but always really was drawn to the theater.
That is wonderful. I love that inspiration. And I'm with you right there. The names you named, I was like, yep, check. Love those. Now, Doug, I want to come to you with the next question, which is, what changes are you most excited for in the theater?
Well, I'm very excited about theater coming back after the pandemic. I'm very encouraged by the numbers that I'm seeing for off-Broadway, which are much more encouraging than they've been in the past, because, you know, I feel that my work is more suited to off-Broadway regional theater than Broadway itself. So for me, in a very self-serving way, I'm very happy that those numbers are showing that it's improving and it's coming back in a bigger way. I'm excited by, and someone's going to take this the wrong way and I don't care. I am very excited by the way diversity is shaping things. I think it's giving wonderful opportunities for everybody. And I think those of us who are not, or should I say, in the traditional mold, can learn from that, benefit from that, and we will all be working together, which is very exciting for me. I think those are the two biggest things for me.
I love that. That is such a wonderful answer. And I am completely agreeing with you in regards to the numbers in off and off Broadway theater, in New York sandbox, if you will. Mm-hmm. Seeing the number of people that are coming back to the theater and attending these smaller shows, I'm like, yes. Yes, get on the ground floor. This is so exciting. Well, we now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And of course, that is, what is your favorite theater memory? Or of course, Doug, in your case, what is another of your favorite theater memories?
Have I shared, I can't remember, I'm getting old and my mind is like Swiss cheese. Have I shared the opening night of The Producer's Story?
No.
That's a real favorite one of mine. We were invited to the opening night. Susan Stroman is a friend of ours, and she invited us to the opening night. Actually, Susan is how I met Kevin. Let's just put that out there right away. But anyway, and I didn't know Kevin when The Producers opened, but it was a big event, and the entire south side of 44th Street was closed off to traffic and people. And so we had to meet one of Susan's assistants in Shubert Alley for our tickets and then go. And I had noticed that there were several little old ladies in turquoise raincoats going up and down Shubert Alley. And I thought, okay, old ladies in raincoats, this has got to do something with the show. Then I didn't think anything about it until we're actually in the lobby of the St. James. And it's a very slow moving line. And I feel this tug on my show on my tux jacket, and I turn, and it's one of the little old ladies in the turquoise raincoats. And I thought, I knew it. And she says, please, sir, by any chance, do you have an extra ticket or can I have yours? And of course, if you know me, you know I have no filter. And 20 years ago, I had no filter. And I looked at her and said, are you out of your fucking mind? And of course, the entire lobby went silent. And I thought my husband was going to have a stroke. But, you know, we just kept moving. We went in, saw the show, absolutely adored it. That night at the cast party at Roseland, Stro sat with us for a few minutes. And she looked at me at one point, and I thought, okay. And she said, we heard about someone who screamed at one of the little ladies about in the lobby. Was that you? And I said, yeah, that was me. And she burst out laughing and she said, I knew it. I knew it had to be you.
That is an incredible memory. Oh my gosh. I love that. Thank you for that. Kevin, how about you? What's your favorite theater memory?
I mean, the first, for some reason, it was something that I'd seen that came to my mind. And this is a very out of left field thing to say, but it came to my mind when you asked the question, was when I saw Maggie Smith in Lettuce and Lovage on Broadway at, I think, the Barrymore. I was sitting in the furthest seat you could possibly be from the stage. I mean, it's not a huge theater, but I was up in the very top balcony in the far corner. And Maggie Smith's performance was so brilliantly executed that I felt like she was giving a performance in my lap. I mean, I'll never get over that. I always think that, and I've seen that sort of, I call it now, old school technique of, you know, throwing your performance forward to the audience, and in not an over the top annoying way. You know, it was not, I'm sure the people on the front row felt the same thing. It was that masterfully done. And I mean, it was a delightful show and funny and everything along with that, but just, I have like a visual feeling. I mean, a visual memory so strongly of almost like her being in my lap, if that makes sense. It was just magical. And, you know, it also takes me back to another memory, which was seeing Lily Tomlin's one woman show, Search for Signs of Life in the Universe. And at the end of that show, you know, she's always going, she's showing the aliens around this world that we're in. And she's holds up the Andy Warhol painting of a Campbell soup can and says, "This is art, then this is soup," you know, that sort of, that whole thing that goes through the whole thing. And at the end, the aliens, I think, I may be getting this wrong, people, but it's been a long time. But the gist of it was the aliens say, the show is soup. And they point to the audience and say, "This is art." And I really think that's what theater's all about, is it's about the audience and about the connection that the actors can have with the audience, which brings me back to that Maggie Smith thing. It wasn't just a performance that maybe got turned up that she would have given in a film. It was a performance that included the audience. And it wasn't, she wasn't, you know, talking to us directly. She wasn't breaking the fourth wall, but her technique, her training had allowed her to create this style of acting that took in the audience as another character, if that makes sense. And that's what honestly turns me on most about theater, is that sort of communion between the performers on the stage and the audience. There. That's a long-winded answer.
But I love that. Another great memory. Two of my favorite actresses, too. And Dame Maggie Smith and Lily Tomlin. Wonderful. Yeah.
Me too.
Incredible memories from both of you. Thank you so much for those.
You're welcome.
As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I'm going to actually, pretty soon after this is over, I'm going to go down to DC and do their production of Bye Bye Birdie at the Kennedy Center. Sorry, I'm going to the Kennedy Center. So I'm excited about that. That's good. That's going to be in, the performances are in the first 2 weeks of June at the Kennedy Center. Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, amazing. Congrats.
Next for me is Fable, which we've discussed before. It's getting a, I can say this one, it's getting its world premiere at Freefall Theater in St. Petersburg, Florida, this coming August. It'll run a month from August 9th through September 8th. And I'm very excited about that. This is the first time, obviously, I'll be seeing it on stage in a professional production. And it's my first regional production of any of my work, which is very exciting because, as I mentioned earlier, that is one of my goals, is to have my work done in regional theaters. So I'm very excited about that. After that, there are a few things coming up that I'm, as I'm told to say I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Well, that is also amazing. I'm so excited to hear that Fable is getting produced. It's having its world premiere. I can't wait for it to come to New York, because just our conversations and that lovely evening at the Drama Bookshop, I'm so excited. Reading the play was so wonderful. I'm excited for it. So this is wonderful.
Thank you.
So that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Goddess of the Hunt or about either of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
There's a website for the show. It's www.goddessofthehunt.com. And they can also find out stuff about it on my website, www.dougdevitaplays.com. And of course, on the Fresh Fruit Festival website.
The same. I don't know how else anybody would reach out to me unless it was on Facebook, but don't.
Or if you see him in Joe Allen, stay away.
Yeah, no.
And one other breadcrumb, don't mention Ernest Hemingway. When you see the show, you'll know why.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Well, Doug, Kevin, thank you both so much for your time today. It's always lovely to speak with you, Doug. And Kevin, this has been an absolute blast. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
I'm so
you.
Glad I got to be on here with my friend Doug.
And my friend Kevin.
My guests today have been the amazing playwright Doug DeVita and the actor playing the leading role of Charlie in the show, Kevin Ligon, who joined us to talk about the great show, Goddess of the Hunt. It's part of the Fresh Fruit Festival, and it's playing April 30th, May 3rd, and May 4th at 6:30 p.m. at the Wild Project. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting freshfruitfestival.com. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting in our social media posts as well as on our episode description. But make sure you come out and support the Fresh Fruit Festival, particularly this great show, Goddess of the Hunt. You are going to want to be one of the people who can say, I saw the show when, because it's going to be huge. And it's put together by some amazing artists, especially our guests. So make sure you come out once again for Goddess of the Hunt, April 30th, May 3rd, and May 4th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.